name's Emma. I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and One Another. It's the 7th of September 2009 and the time is 20 minutes past 8 p.m. Can I please ask you for your full name, your date of birth and where you come from?
My name is Heather Margaret Cochran and I was born on the 24th of September 1952 and I'm from Dundee in Scotland.
Where have you come from today?
Today I've come from Suffolk, from friends, down to our friends who live a few streets away, and then we've just walked here.
How do you feel now?
Okay, I'm actually all right at the moment, although I'm not sure how I'm going to feel nearer 9 o'clock.
So how did you find out about the project?
Well, I'm a fan of Anthony Gormley's work, and just keep up to date with kind of things he's doing. And just found out about it through the media and Googled One Another, saw that I could applied. When the project started, I hadn't heard anything, so I thought, well, you know, haven't got a place, and then suddenly got the email saying that I did have a place. So that was a shock, but a nice one. It was good.
Can you tell me what you're going to do out there?
Yes, I practice yoga and have done for about 10 years, and I had an idea of doing some yoga up in the air. That would be an interesting way to do yoga, because you're supposed to be quite grounded when you're doing yoga, and how would you feel if you did some up in the air? And then I thought, well, you know, I want the hour to mean something. And I'm a supporter of a charity, quite an unusual charity, called the Prison Phoenix Trust, which supports and encourages and promotes yoga and meditation for prisoners and prison officers. And so I approached them and said, can we do this together to give you a bit more awareness and raising awareness for you? And they said, great, sure. And they've been really helpful. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be using and doing some yoga from a CD that is sent out to prisoners who contact the trust for support. So it's kind of connecting it all. I'm wearing a trust t-shirt. Some of the trust's teachers are out there. And I'm going to be doing a little sequence of yoga that prisoners do in their cells. And interestingly, after we thought about all this, we thought, well, actually, the size of the plinth for a lot of people could be the size of a cell. You know, they don't have much space to do their yoga and meditation. So it'll be interesting for me to do yoga in a sort of more confined space. So that's what I'm going to do.
Where did your connection with the charity come from?
Well, practicing yoga, I'm involved in a couple of yoga organisations, and I did my teacher training through an organisation called Yoga Scotland. And in a Yoga Scotland newsletter, I discovered an advert for an awareness workshop with the Prison Phoenix Trust being run in Scotland, and I was interested in that, and because I know how yoga has kind of helped me in my life. It's helped me change how I feel about things, how I think about things. Makes you feel more than think, takes you out of your head and more into your body. And so I went along to this workshop, thought the people running the trust were fantastic. They did a wonderful workshop. The teachers involved were fantastic. They'd all been teaching in Scottish prisons for quite a while. And so that was how I started to support the trust, and I've kept in touch with the work of the trust ever since. And I'm a supporter. I get a newsletter a few times a year and keep in touch with the Scottish Link person in the trust. So.
How did you first get into yoga?
Interesting. My husband and I were living in Moscow, in Russia, and I hurt my back. And I went to a physio and masseuse, and he said, have you ever thought about taking yoga? It can help you, first of all, with your physical, you know, help with this, with your spine, open up your spinal column, make you more flexible. So I said, this sounds good. So I went along and to the one and only at that time yoga studio in Moscow, which was run by a young woman, and did some Iyengar yoga. And then, which is Iyengar is very precise. They're very into alignment and form and making sure that everything, the whole body's in the right place. And then my husband and I moved to Malaysia, and the yoga could not be more different. But for some reason, I'm not a person who's been very sporty particularly. I like walking, but I'm not a sporty person. And for some reason, it just clicked. And so I've been practicing it ever since.
How do you feel it affects you on day to day? basis?
I think it helps you, it makes you much calmer. It helps you take things in your, for me anyway, it helps you take things in your stride more and deal with situations. It means you don't sort of start to fret or panic. Of course you still do it. It doesn't work 100% of the time because you must practice yoga regularly. That's the point of it. You've got to have some sort of yoga practice daily. And yoga isn't just about the poses. It's not about just asana work, which are the poses. It's about pranayama, it's about that which is breathing, and it's about lots of other things. But we mainly in the West start with the poses because we then get more into our bodies, more self-aware, more attuned with our bodies, and that in turn moves us into looking at things, what's going on in our heads, and how our mind reflects what, you know, affects what we do. I mean, the yoga, the whole start of yoga, the main thing is Chitte Vritti Nirodha, which is stilling the fluctuations of the mind. And trust me, it works.
So you mentioned a few different countries there. How come you moved about?
My husband worked for an oil company, and he did a lot of travelling before we got together, before we got married. But after we got married, we lived in Glasgow and then Aberdeen, and then Moscow, oh, and then The Hague in the Netherlands, and then Moscow, and then Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. And then we came home. He retired and we came home to Scotland.
Where was your favourite?
I don't have a favourite really, because they all gave me something so different. But the one thing I think from all of the places, it's always the people you remember. Of course you remember scenery and you remember experiences, but for me, at the end of the day, you always remember the people you met and the kind of times and that you spent with them. And I think these are the main memories. And the people we're staying with for the next couple of days are friends that we met in Moscow who are now living in London. So everything's connected.
Why did you come back to Scotland?
We're both from Dundee. We've always kept our connection because of family and friends, and because we think it's a beautiful place. Dundonians can tend to be very apathetic about their hometown. It's a very working class town, it has a very industrial tradition, and some people can't wait to leave it, and I was like that when I went off as a teenager. But I always kept in touch with it, as did my husband, and we always knew, particularly after we worked abroad, we travelled and we thought, you know, it's not so bad after all. We have a stunning, stunning geographical situation on the river, with the hills. Scotland is small. You can be in Edinburgh, you can be in Glasgow, you can be in the Highlands, you could be anywhere in an hour. And we're very lucky. And we do live in a very peaceful corner of the world, which is for which we have to be really grateful. And a very beautiful corner of the world, and the people are very warm, so that's kind of why we knew we wanted to go back.
Do you have a family?
No, we don't. We don't have children. We married late, and we thought about having kids, but it didn't work, and we chose not to go down an IVF or an adoption or fostering route, but we just have heaps of godchildren and lots of children in our lives, and that works for us. We managed to come to terms with that and get our heads around that. So we just use other people's children, if you like, and then give them back at the end of the day.
Can I ask you a little bit about the family that you came from?
Sure. I'm an only child. My mother was 48 when I was born. And I'll probably get quite emotional, actually, because that was in 1952. And completely out of the blue, having been married to my dad for about 8 years, she discovered she was pregnant just when she thought she was menopausal. My father wasn't particularly well. He was 13 years older than her. And sadly, he died 2 days after my first birthday. But she was a very strong woman. She had huge standards. She was a very respectable, working class woman. That's how she'd been brought up. And in a sense, that's how she brought me up. So I was very lucky. I was very lucky to have the stability of my mum and my extended family, because obviously I had no brothers and sisters. So Mum and I had a really good relationship, and although, I mean, when I went off to Edinburgh, she was 70, but she coped with it really well. And we continued to have a great relationship, and we always, I mean, I saw her all the time. And then when I moved to England and stuff, I mean, we still saw each other once a month. And she died when she was 91, so I was very, very lucky to have her for as long as I did. Yeah.
Do you live far from where you grew up?
No, I don't actually. We, bizarrely, a few miles from where I grew up, which is quite unusual. And I live, my husband and I, although we love old houses, we actually at this moment have a new build which has been up for 6 years, and we have a little cul-de-sac of 8 houses, and it's the United Nations. It's just an incredible little spot. Absolutely incredible little spot. We have people from India, from Pakistan, from England. We have Sikh family, Hindu family, Muslim family, Christian family. So, I mean, I did joke and say that all we really need is we'd like a Jewish family to move in, and possibly a gay couple, and then we'd be covered, you know. We have cats, we have dogs, we have all sorts. So it's great. It's a really, really super, super little spot.
Do you have a relationship with your neighbours?
Oh, absolutely, yes. They'll all be glued to the webcam tonight, so... Other their webcams tonight. I don't think they'll all be together because it's Ramadan for our Muslim neighbours, and it's school nights for all the kids, so they'll have to watch it another time. But yeah, we do. It's a super sweet. We really are very fond of it, and we moved in thinking we'd be there for maybe 6 months and move on, and 6 years later we're still there.
What is it about it you think makes it work so well?
It is small. It's just, as I say, there's only 8 houses. Everyone's just open to be friendly, and nobody, we don't, you know, we're not sort of joined at the hip, and we're not in and out each other's houses all the time, but everyone's there for everybody else. And, you know, certain events which, you know, have happened in the street have cemented the relationships. The children have cemented relationships as well, because we have 8 houses and 14 kids, and you wouldn't know. It's incredible. I mean, they're the most best behaved kids I've ever seen in my life. So the youngest is about 3, 4 now maybe, and the eldest will be just 21. So I think the kids help.
Do you still have much family now?
In Dundee I just have a couple of cousins. I have a cousin in Southampton. My father's family all went to Australia in the 1920s. So all of my dad's family are in Australia and New Zealand. So I have an extended family there of cousins, second cousins, third cousins, all over. Yes, several times. And they come here a lot, yeah. So there's always some cousin doing the tour, you know, which is great because they come and see us. And then when we go there, we stay with them. But they're all over Australia now, Tasmania, right up to Broome in the far north. West of Australia, Darwin, the Gold Coast, North and South Islands in New Zealand. So you really do, you would have to take about 3 months if you wanted to try and see them all.
Is travelling something you've always done?
Yes, but obviously, you know, it was limited to holidays before. I didn't go on a world trip or have a gap year. You didn't do that when you're my age. So it was almost sort of type package type holidays and things like that. And then fell in love with Italy, so we go to Italy a lot. Just exploring a different region. Some Italian friends who might be here tonight. And but then when I married, obviously there was the opportunity to start to go abroad again, and we did.
Where did you meet your husband?
well, I met him when I was 19 and he was 17. And basically we kept in touch all that time, and we both had significant relationships. When neither of us had married, but we had long-term relationships, and then these broke up, and we got together one Christmas when we were back in Dundee, and we were both single, and started seeing each other. He was working for BP in Glasgow, and that was it.
When was this?
That was 1992, Christmas 1992. And we got married in April 1994. So it's quite bizarre because, of course, we've been married, 15 years this year, but we've known each other an awful lot longer. So it confuses an awful lot of people, you know. I'm not sure I could have, you know, decided to marry somebody so quickly if I hadn't actually known him all that time and sort of kept in touch with him and known what was going on in his life. But there you go. He's a lovely man. He's a good man.
Aside from yoga, do you have any other hobbies?
Reading. The theatre. The arts generally, I think. I did one or two sort of amateur dramatic things a long, long time ago and haven't really done anything since. And I used to do heaps and heaps and heaps of country dancing, but that's waned as the yoga's taken over because there's something about getting hyper and up in the air and dancing that is just completely the antithesis of yoga in some ways. For me, it's better to do the dancing in smaller amounts because it can, you know, it lifts you up, you get very sort of airy and you're up on your feet and you're really going for it, and it can be a bit can just be a bit hyper after dancing. I still dance and I do love having a good bop to all sorts of music, but I don't do country dancing nearly as much as I used to.
Do you have any hopes or aspirations for the future?
I just hope that people can continue to work towards peace in the world, which, you know, everybody will be seeing. And for myself, no, I just want to live a life of trying to help people be of service. There's a thing called karma yoga, and that seems to suit me. I actually quite like to help. Derek's my husband. And he jokes that there's a big difference between helping people and interfering. So it's getting that balance. And no, I'm actually quite content with my life at the moment, and I'm happy to continue to live in Dundee. One thing I would like to do would probably go to experience, continue to grow in my yoga, and possibly go to India at some stage and just experience some different yoga teaching and just develop my yoga a bit.
Is there anything you'd like to gain from your hour?
Money for the Prison Phoenix Trust, awareness for the Prison Phoenix Trust. I think there'll be a personal satisfaction if I can actually carry it off without falling off. I mean, joking aside, you know, if I can actually get up there, do it and get off in one piece, I'll feel quite satisfied. But having raised awareness for the trust and being part of a one-off project that may not happen again will be very satisfying for me, yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'm quite happy with that. I mean, I thought the questions were interesting. It's just how such simple questions can take you down such complex routes and open up all sorts of emotional sort of things that, you know, you maybe haven't thought about for a while. So thank you for allowing me to do that. That was good.
Thank you very much.